Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great day today. We're going to have Bill Hillgrove on, the play-by-play voice, the legendary voice of the Pittsburgh Steelers, as well as Pitt football and Pitt basketball. Josh Moyer, ESPN.com, is going to join us as well. For Kevin, a huge day to get his play-by-play idol on the air, the voice of the Steelers.
My play-by-play idol is on the other side of the microphone from me, Bob Buehner.
Oh, sure.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Kevin.
Buehner.
Hey, Steve. We're getting ready for...
Big day today. Big day. I mean, I can't wait to get Bill on, talk to him. I think Bill still does a jazz show. As a matter of fact,
I was out in Western Pennsylvania last weekend and listened to Bill call the Pitt game, and then Sunday afternoon, doing some traveling, listened to him with Sunday night, the Steelers. So a double header for me, and he is just smooth and good to listen to. Reminds me of a certain Penn State broadcaster, Jack Ham.
Yeah, he's good too.
Yes, Fran Fisher.
Oh. Hey, Steve, just as an aside, I saw the picture of Coach James Franklin giving Fran Fisher a birthday cake celebrating Fran's 91st birthday. Amazing.
Yeah, that was Tuesday. And Tuesday was Fran's birthday. I don't know if I'm really going to say anything about it tonight because I actually mentioned it and talked about it in the pregame show on Saturday. And then we did mention it at quarterback club on Wednesday. So I think it's great that Pitt, that Fran hears all the accolades. Look, he's 91. He's very much with us and very much with it. As you heard on the show about a month ago we had Fran on?
Yeah, we had him on. Yeah, so, he's right up. He's, you know, he doesn't miss a beat, really. That voice, you know, instantly recognizable by Penn State fans everywhere, as yours is.
Well, it's he made life easier for me to make the next step and be the next guy up because of the way he is. And I think that's something I am forever going to be grateful for. It's made whatever I've attempted to do exponentially easier. So... All right. So Bill Hillgrove coming. And, you know, Bill Hillgrove was in that spot, too, because Bill took over for Jack Fleming. And Jack Fleming was the iconic voice of the Steelers and also for West Virginia football and basketball and, for a period of time, the Chicago Bulls. And he, stepped in and Bill took over and the Steeler broadcast never skipped a beat. Never skipped a beat.
Yeah, I've been lucky enough to meet and or talk to a lot of the guys that I listened to over the years. Fran, Harry Callis. Bill's the one that I have not, and I listened to him so many times over the years as a Steeler fan. This will be entertaining for me. And, of course, and all kidding aside, Steve, in doing this show, the first thing I said was I had a chance to do something with a guy I've always thought of as a mentor.
And now,
I regret those words.
regret has crept in.
Regret has crept in, and I realize that he's taught me really nothing useful. That's the problem.
As it relates to broadcasting, maybe, but he's been a good mentor for you, Kevin, off the mic, so to speak. Your behavior is so much better now.
Fabulous.
Yes.
Derek Jeter, now tonight's his last game.
Oh, don't
the number
tell,
on
no,
the hat.
Not Jeter again.
And the number on the uniform, well, Kevin thinks the whole thing is he played with one team. I mean, the Yankees financially could give him the cash to keep him.
Let the man – it's just – no, it's just the Jeter mania. It's just driving me nuts.
Okay. I would have made a donation to his Turn 2 Foundation, but that would have been the extent of what I would have done in my park for him.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
I mean, in other words, here's a donation to the Turn 2 Foundation. Make a presentation on the field. Thank you so much for everything you've contributed to baseball. We'd like to make a contribution to help out children on your behalf. Boom, here it is. We're done and move on. He played for the Yankees. Let the Yankees pay tribute to him.
Right.
And give him gifts. I mean, and the thing about the number on the hat and the jersey.
That's weird.
I remember how uncomfortable I was when Penn State put 42 on the helmets for Motti. I was like, I looked around. I said, he's injured. He's not dead.
Right. Well, yeah, there were some statistics out early this morning. For example, this year, Yankee attendance, which is always very solid, was up. And they attributed to Jeter's retirement by like 130,000 paying patrons over last year. The sale of Jeter mobilia, whatever you want to call it, is memorabilia is just phenomenal. It's off the chart, at least as by people who track T-shirts. There's something like 50 different types of Jeter hats that one could purchase. I was in Yankee Stadium in early August, and every concession stand had something with Jeter on it prominently displayed, and they were selling quite nicely. Just amazing. And if they just shared one third or one quarter of the revenue the Yankees made from all of those things, that would be one hefty check, Steve, the Yankees could give.
Well, we'll see what they do tonight. It's their big night.
If they even play.
Yeah, they should play.
They will play. They'll have some ceremony. Yeah, there's no question.
Tonight. Yeah, they'll play tonight. And, Kevin's big thing is he played for one team.
Yeah, there's not too many of those left that play for one team and not move on.
And for 20 years.
That's because the reserve clause was eliminated back in 1970. Okay, that's why everybody was playing for one team, you know. I mean, the reserve clause, in other words, I'm sorry, like Joe DiMaggio one year took a $5,000 pay cut, and you looked at his numbers and you thought, wow, those are really great numbers. But the Yankees told him, hey, look, your numbers weren't as great as the year before. Nobody had freedom of movement both ways. And even some of the greats of all time, John Unitas finished with the Chargers, Joe Montana finished with Kansas City, Emmitt Smith finished with the Arizona Cardinals. Hey, and on you go. Jim Taylor finished with the New Orleans Saints after that great career with Green Bay. I mean, in baseball, Ty Cobb finished with the Philadelphia A's. Babe Ruth with the Boston Braves. Played with the Red Sox previously, but the Boston Braves. I mean, Lou Brock was traded by the Cubs to the Cardinals. Hank Aaron finished up with the Brewers. Willie Mays finished up with the Mets.
Warren Spahn finished up with the Mets, too.
With the Mets. I mean, and you, Robin Roberts with the Houston Colt 45s. I mean, on and on you go. I mean, I know Kevin has the thing. He played for one team and never happens anymore. Kevin, it's happened through time. The team just had control before.
No, I'm just – it's a rarity for this era of baseball. That's all I was saying. It was just a rarity in this era.
Yes, there's no reserve clause. That's why it's a rarity.
I understand.
Well, there's a couple things, though. Secondly, and this is in Kevin's defense, there aren't a lot of players in the major leagues that have played 20 years, whether it's with one team or another team. There are not a lot of players that have played baseball that have been the captain of a team as successful as the Yankees over their lifetime. So you've got a couple of different things. And the other thing is, and we've been, up to our eyeballs and outside the game behavior of the last month, Derek Jeter is at least has a spotless reputation. He's never...
Yes,
that's true.
He's never done anything that would embarrass his team or, more importantly, himself. He has a clause where if he has more than one alcoholic drink, he has a designated driver, some guy on a limo probably picks him up, takes him home. He doesn't do anything. Mm-hmm. So when you add all of that up, plus the way he's been successful on the field.
But this is also the overlap dramatically into the steroid era, and he's not accused of anything.
Yeah.
That's a huge part.
That's
a huge part in all this. Ken Griffey Jr., people like that. You look at the accomplishments of Clayton Kershaw today, 21-3. You feel good about what Clayton Kershaw is accomplishing because the way they're testing today, you feel like what you're watching is legitimate.
Exactly. True. Go ahead.
You feel with Derek Jeter, everything you've watched over the years is legitimate. But in terms of the gift giving, I do not expect the Yankees to give David Ortiz a gift.
They might, but it won't be what, in the charitable sense of the word, gift.
I mean, it might be a limo out of the ballpark. Yep. Here, we'll take you anywhere you want to go. Just don't stay here.
It's a one-way trip.
I wonder how many more of these there will be. Long, year-long farewells. I mean, we've had two of them back-to-back here, and I'm not saying they weren't worthy.
Who's left?
Well, that's my point. That's exactly my point.
I mean, I'd never heard of I'll tell you right now, he never got a chance to do it, but one of the reasons Joe would not tell anybody about retirement is he didn't want this to happen to him.
Steve, how much do you think the farewell tour of Derek Jeter on the road was done as a means of boosting attendance and ticket sales?
All of it.
And interest in Major League Baseball in general.
Yeah.
All of it.
Yeah, exactly.
All of it. Now, the Red Sox have announced that what they're doing is going to be low-key for the weekend. And there's two reasons for it. I mean, number one, his big one is tonight.
Yeah.
It's by his team, and it just turns out you're the next series after that, and it's in Fenway Park, and you're looking around like, you can't do anything to try and match what they're doing, because that's not right.
Yeah, nor should you.
That's his fans, his team, his club, his everything. So you can't do anything to trump it. That's wrong. But doing something, again, I would make a donation to his foundation, and I would make it significant, and I would, and would move on from there. It's your last game, so guess what? We're gonna make a $50,000 donation to the Turn 2 Foundation, and thank you for everything that you've done. Or $20,000, $1,000 for each year, $20,000 to thank you for everything you've done, what you meant to the game, and this will help kids. Now, to me, that's an appropriate gift.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to take long to present it either. You just don't keep the fawning atmosphere.
Right. I mean, because look, for 20 years, the guy tried to beat your butt.
Exactly. As he should have.
I mean, Ted Williams was a great player. Okay? Carl Yastrzemski, what gifts did the Yankees give him? Nothing. A quick wave. Take care.
See you. Don't come back.
I'm glad. In a lot of ways, we're glad you're gone. Bill Hillgrove is coming up next. Kevin's excited. His hands are shaking.
Actually, they are. I can see them from here in my vantage point. They are shaking. He is almost beside himself with waiting for the moment to occur.
And that moment is upon us. After the news, Sean Carey's excited.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Kevin, by the way, is driving a Ford Escape this week, courtesy of Sunbury Motors, which we'll talk more about in the next half hour. Steelers get Tampa Bay this week while Pitt gets Akron. As Pitt looks to go to 4-1 in the season. Off to a great start, and the Steelers are looking to go to 3-1 in the season. And for the first time in this show, we're very pleased to bring in the iconic voice of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Pitt football, Pitt basketball. Very pleased to be joined by Bill Hillgrove. Bill, welcome. It is great to have you with us. And I don't think we have him yet. Okay. Kevin will attempt to call again.
Yeah, we're having trouble. He was having a little trouble hearing us.
Then speak louder, Kevin.
Good talk. Why, where were you 5 minutes ago?
Yell louder, Kevin. We'll go through the introduction one more time in just a few moments, but we'll get that for you. And then the next half hour, Josh Moyer of ESPN.com is going to join us. We'll talk about Penn State football and also talk about the Big Ten as Penn State gets ready for its second Big Ten game of the year against Northwestern. The Steelers, of course, are off to their 2-1 start. They came back last week and in a brilliant performance took apart Carolina. And Pitt football, they're 3-1. Excellent start. They get Akron this week. Obviously a team I'm very familiar with after doing that game a couple of weeks ago. And we're very pleased to be joined by someone I have tremendous respect for, the iconic voice of the Pittsburgh Steelers and Pitt football and basketball, Bill Hillgrove. Bill, welcome. It is an absolute pleasure on our part to have you.
It's always good to be with you, Steve. It's been a fun season so far.
It has been a fun season. So let's talk about it. It's been one of those interesting rides to this point. When you watch the Carolina performance, was that as complete a performance as it appeared to us as we watched it on television?
You know, I think it was the most physical, and I think that's what had been lacking from the second half of the Cleveland game and that abysmal performance in Baltimore. They got physical, and I would doubt that Cam Newton got out of bed very easily on Monday morning. They gave him all kind of what for, and I think that's the kind of football they've got to play in order to win. The offense, well, what can I say about the running game? That was a pretty good run defense they faced, and they kind of ran roughshod. And, you know, this is the kind of, I thought, potential this team had coming out of camp. I felt good about it. And after that second half of Cleveland, I said, well, and then when I saw what happened in Baltimore, then I started to doubt my own opinions on this team. But I think they were kind of validated, at least to a degree, because Carolina is a good football team. That front seven, well, without Greg Hardy, front six, you know, is among the top three in the league. And they took care of it. So, you know, I was very encouraged.
Let's talk about the 1-2 punch. What does it mean in today's game in the NFL that you can have a Le'Veon Bell and then have really a closer in LeGarrette Blount who goes out there in the fourth quarter and can do what he does?
I think it's great. Thunder and lightning. They used to call Bam Morris and Eric Pigram that. And interestingly, I thought that those would have been the last two backs to each get 100 in the same game. And we got to go all the way back to 1986. And my partners, Tunch and Wolf, with pride say, hey, we blocked for those guys. We blocked for Walter Abercrombie and Ernest Jackson when they each had over 100 yards. But that performance Sunday night by number 26 and number 27 was fabulous.
Let's take it to the next part, because the Steelers specifically, Bill, have drafted over the last few years to take and transform the offensive line. Do you now feel you're seeing the fruit of those drafts?
I think we are, and I think the addition of Mike Munchak, as a matter of fact, a couple people during the offseason said, all right, who do you think is the most important acquisition of the Steelers? And I said, it might be the coach in the offensive line. And so far, so good, because they are coming together. There's some pedigree there, but there's also a couple of guys that don't have pedigree that you got to prove that they're not, you know, four-star performers. Cody Wallace did a great job. You know, he's got a nasty disposition, and he did a great job for Ramon in Carolina Sunday night. And it's nice to know you have that kind of depth. And you know, I just think that all of the warts that group had shown the last couple of years, they've kind of vanished, and I think this could be a strength of this football team.
Antonio Brown, the versatility, whether it's a punt return, the way he runs a route, or how he blocks, describe what kind of wide receiver he is and how valuable he is into what the Steelers do.
I think Antonio would run 24/7 if you asked him to, and I think he's the most well-conditioned wide receiver in the league. And we see it in practice. You know, he'll take the end around, or he'll catch a pass. He always goes to the goal line, no matter where they are on the field. he finishes. And I think that's an indication of just how competitive he really is. I don't think of a receiver in the league. Now, you got the big ones like Megatron and Kelvin Benjamin and Calvin Johnson and those guys that are, you know, super freaks physically. He's not. He's a freak conditionally, and I think that's just as good. Ben and he are on the same page, and I think that's pretty obvious, especially when things start to break down.
Defensively, the guys that got banged up, discuss, Bill, the concerns. They signed James Harrison, but the concerns that out of a game that was a great performance that certain guys get banged up and have to miss time.
Yes, I think it didn't surprise me by what they did. Jarvis Jones definitely can't play without a wrist, and so he's on that returnable IR. Ike Taylor, I think, with a broken forearm could come back maybe by the bye or a little bit before then. So they didn't bother, you know, clearing the roster spot for him. I think Shazier is a short-term thing. MCL, as you know, of all the ligaments, that's the best one to sprain. And so, Arthur Motes and Sean Spence are going to have to hold the fort. Hopefully James Harrison can contribute, but I think Tomlin put his thumb on that when he said, hey, his conditioning and also his, ingesting of the schemes. Let's face it, he's been out of that scheme for over a year. He went to a 4-3, so now, you know, he's got to pick up some things again. And I'm sure it's like riding a bike degree, but I don't know how much LeBron said. So, you know, I two facts, condition and ingesting this when Wentz batted. Nice to know that you can turn loose. Hopefully he's still got a tank.
How much were you about most there in the first kind of store spent getting an opportunity?
Yeah, Spence is Mike Tomlin's kind of ball player. He's the kind of player that Miami has turned out, defensively for a lot of years now. That mentality that you saw with guys like Ed Reed, he just knows where to be. He's a football junkie. He lives and breathes it, and he was really frustrated when that injury took time in healing. But anytime there's nerve damage, as you well know, you just have to let Mother Nature do her thing. And fortunately, he's back to the point physically where he can contribute, and he's only going to get better. So I think this guy is really giving that linebacker corps some depth, and they're going to need it now for a few games. Hopefully, and I knock on wood, that, you know, it's not like you're playing Denver or Seattle the next couple of weeks. You're playing teams that you could well handle if those guys just, you know, hold their water and perform. And I love the attitude. And William Gay said it with Icon. He said, hey, next guy up around here, that he's got to jump in there and do the same things that the number one guy did. And if they can do that for several games, I think they're going to be fine.
How stunned were you by the Tampa Bay-Atlanta game?
I was, I just couldn't believe it. You know, it was... It looked like an underarmed and an under-numbered army in a desperate situation, and it was complete disarray. They're not going to do that Sunday. I guarantee you, they're going to give the Steelers their best shot. So, that game is one of those things. Some days you eat the bear, and some days the bear eats you.
Exactly. The one guy I haven't asked you about is Ben Roethlisberger. As you watched him mature as a quarterback, where is he better now in your observation, Bill, as a quarterback as opposed to a young thrower?
He's in the best physical shape of his career. He hired a personal trainer in the offseason, and some of the receivers said this camp started, wow, his ball has some zip on it, and he's got good spin on it. And so he's throwing it better. He's in better shape. He's a little bit lighter than he had been. And, his movement, not only outside the pocket, we've seen that where he on the dead run can find receivers and hit them, but movement in the pocket has been stock and trade. He just kind of knows when to sidestep, where to sidestep to. He just has that, you know, fiery competitiveness. And, you know, I've talked about him before, and I told a talk show up in New England that I wouldn't trade Roethlisberger for anybody, and it's almost like I committed heresy, you know. But I said, most quarterbacks, even great ones, if you pressure them, they tend to become average. You pressure Ben, he gets better.
That's a great point. I want to ask you about Pitt football right now because they're off to a great start at 3-1. Jack Hamm, my broadcast partner, obviously, for Penn State football, was at a charity event with James Conner, and he's told me, if not once, maybe five or six times, what a great kid he is. He's also a great running back. What makes James Conner special to you, Bill?
Well, you know, he's a hard worker, and he wants to be great. He wasn't viewed as great coming out of Erie McDowell. Only had two solid offers, but his coach sold him to Paul Christ and his staff, Coach Rudolph. He sold the kid to them, said, you can't pass this kid up. This kid is special. And originally they thought he probably played defensive end, and they still list him as a possible defensive end, but haven't turned him loose yet. Haven't needed to, really, but maybe in that one game where you know, they need a pass rush instantaneously, they might try to turn him loose. But in the meantime, you know, he's in great shape. He's inordinately strong. He just senses the daylight, sees a lot, and has developed patience. That's what running backs have to do. You know, just wait that little split second for that crack to develop. And he's been able to do that, and he's only going to get better if he, you know, knock on wood, stays healthy.
Yeah, no question. What about Tyler Boyd at wideout?
Everything that you want. You know, the ball's in the air, and Chad Voidick can put it basically in a catchable position. And if there are two defenders there, generally Tyler comes down with the ball. He just has that knack for knowing where it's going to be at a precise moment. He's got great leaping ability, great speed, and again, he's a fiery competitor as well. So it's no coincidence that those two guys sit in the same row on the airplane, because they're your bell ringers for sure.
No question. How have you felt about the move into the ACC? What has it meant for Pitt?
It's been seamless. You know, for broadcasters, especially for basketball, for Dick Grote and myself, you know, it's not Rosie O'Grady's at the corner of 52nd and 7th. You know, the culture for that tournament's a whole lot different than what Madison Square Garden presents, but I think that's pretty obvious. I think in every other case, it's been a seamless transition. You got to credit Steve Peterson for helping to pave the way for that, and I think that's a good fit for Pitt and Syracuse, and certainly the league is glad that they're aboard. Now you throw Louisville into the mix, and all of a sudden, both basketball and football for them get a little stronger, so I think it's a good marriage.
Any close calls over the years, Bill, because you do every game, football, basketball, then, you know, then transitioning, you still have to work the Steelers in. Any close calls over the years?
Yeah, I had one in Houston. We played Nebraska on the road, lost a tough ball game, and then there was an equipment problem on the airplane, so we were delayed like 3 hours coming out. So Bill Frelick and I checked into the local motel near Pitt Airport, and I remember vividly he and I having breakfast at Sheetz sitting outside before the sun came up, because he had to go back to Atlanta and I had to get to Houston. I had booked two flights on two different airlines just in case. Got to Houston fine. Oh, everything was wonderful, Steve. I had a limo waiting for me. Zoom right into town. We get six blocks from Reliance Stadium and it is utter gridlock. And I said, what am we going to do? I can walk six blocks. And the man said, excuse me. And he went back to the trunk of the limo, got a set of red and blue lights with a magnet on them, stuck them on the roof, and now we're VIPs, and policemen are waving us up one-way streets. We're going down, and we got there just in the nick of time. I think I got there 15 minutes before I was on the air, but we made it. I got a close one next weekend. I got to go from a night game in Charlottesville to the 1 o'clock in Jacksonville, so that's going to be touch and go.
Yeah, it will be. Somebody told me you're still doing a jazz show. What's always been the attraction of jazz for you?
I just love it. It's good for my soul. I had a friend turn me on to it when we were in high school. Now, this was at the beginning of the rock and roll era. And so for me to embrace jazz like I did at that period of time was absolutely amazing. But I loved it ever since, and I just love this opportunity. I do one show a week. It's a six-hour show that I can record from my home. And, you know, it's been a blast. I've really enjoyed it.
Well, I really enjoyed this. Bill, it was an absolute pleasure on my part. You know the great respect I have for your work across the board. And thanks so much for the time. Good luck the rest of the year.
Thank you, Steve, and likewise to you. I respect your talents and your ability to have that energy at a high level. It's fun.
Yeah, thanks, Bill, so much. Take good care. Good luck this weekend to the Steelers and the Panthers.
Thanks.
Bill Hillgrove, the legendary, iconic, and a man I deeply respect, the voice of the Steelers and the Pitt Panthers. We will come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Every price on every new Kia has been reduced
and retagged
to the lowest prices of the year. Fall for a new Kia at Sunbury Motors Kia with 0% APR financing.
Yes, zero.
For up to 60 months on all remaining 2014 Optima and Optima Hybrid. The iconic 2014 Kia Soul starts at an incredible $14,769. Sunbury Motors Kia has 2014 Rios clearance price starting at $14,951. The 5-star safety rated 2015 Forte LX as low as $16,865. And 2015 Serenos starting at $22,456. Remember, all new Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty. So hurry in to Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip at Hummel's Wharf
or sunburymotors.com
and fall for your new Kia today.
Taxes and tax extra. Must qualify. Specialty incentives apply. Special financing to well-qualified customers through KMF.
Hurry to Biter's Home Center today for our huge 48th anniversary sale with incredible store-wide savings and 0% interest financing for 1 year. Since 1966, Biter's has been offering quality name-brand appliances, furniture, electronics, and bedding at guaranteed low prices. Like a famous Edenpure 5000 BTU infrared heater for just $147. Save on some great furniture deals like a microfiber power chase recliner, only $249.99, or an Ashley oversized sofa for just $297, and a dual reclining chase sofa is now $447 at all Biter's home centers. We've gone all out for this sale, offering tremendous values in every department, including appliances, where you can take home an Amana large capacity 9-cycle washer for a low $337, or get an 18 cubic foot frost free refrigerator for just $427. We're offering these savings and more throughout the store for a limited time only, so we hope to see you at our 48th anniversary sale, where you can shop with 0% interest financing for 1 year now through 5 p.m. Sunday at one of our five conveniently located Biter's home centers.
See store for complete financing details.
Of dynamic parts of the Women's Professional Partnership is the mentoring that takes place within it. To underscore the value and potential impact of mentoring, the WPP has partnered with Bucknell University to create a business conference for men and women called Empowering Our Region Through Mentoring and Leadership, October 23rd at the Campus Theater in Lewisburg. The conference is intended to be a first step in creating a mentoring region. Imagine a region where people feel compelled to help one another, share and build strengths, and empower each other. Building on the concept that no one has a monopoly on information, the idea is we all can help each other and will be more successful and fulfilled if we do. Keynote speaker Dan Rockwell will encourage participants to become intentional about developing mentoring relationships. The Empowering Our Region Conference sponsors include Evangelical Community Hospital, Susquehanna Bank, Elizabeth's Bistro, and Susquehanna Life Magazine. Call 1-800-232-1670 or visit empoweringourregion.com to learn more.
Smart drive tips for smart drivers. Hi, I'm Jake from Sunbury. Are you driving aggressively? Speeding is obviously aggressive driving, but remember, constant changing of lanes, tailgating, speeding up to and away from stop signs or lights, and general angry driving are also considered aggressive driving. You could be reported, receive points, and a fine, and possible suspension of your license. Take it easy, and always wear your seatbelt. Stay in control, and drive smart. This message brought to you by the stations of Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation, including News Radio 1070 WKOK, and Sealands Grove Ford, proud supporters of Susquehanna Smart.
At Independence Ford on Route 11 in Bloomsburg, we invite you to take the Independence Challenge. Bring us your best deal from any local dealer and put us to the test. What you'll find is that we're always better than the rest. 200 new vehicles and over 120 quality pre-owned vehicles in stock. The area's only Roush dealership is Independence. Find us at independenceford.com or on Facebook. Independence Ford on Route 11 in Bloomsburg. Better people, better prices.
Our thanks to Bill Hillgrove for carving out time to be with us today. Great respect for his work, as always. And we'll have Josh Moyer of ESPN.com in the next half hour. So we're looking forward to that very, very much.
Steve, we were trying to figure out one thing that combines you with Bill Hillgrove. You have a broadcast partner by the name of Jack Ham, who was a Pittsburgh Steelers, everyone knows. He has won for the Steelers, Tunch Ilkin. And did those were those guys teammates?
No, never.
That's what we're trying to figure.
Jack was done after the 82 season.
Well, I think Tunch was from 80 to 92, but I have Sean Carey on the research staff looking that up to see whether they were at one point in their career they might have been teammates. So we'll have to see.
That could be. My guess would have been no. But I mean, Jack did go up to 82. And that was always one of the big things with him because it was the year after he retired. They had the strike, and that's when they increased the pension plan.
I understand.
Because timing means everything.
Sure.
I mean, and that's something that we've talked about.
I didn't think they did, though.
There might have been, I think, a two-year overlap.
Might have been an overlap, yeah.
88, maybe the 80, 81, 82 years.
Maybe.
So, but that means you have something in common, you and Bill Hillgrove, that just is what a coincidence.
We're both play-by-play guys in Pennsylvania.
Exactly, that too.
And we'll be getting back together again here very soon.
Yeah, I was going to say that you'll get to see him in the press box at Beaver Stadium at some point here pretty soon.
Heinz Field first.
Yep.
Heinz Field first. It's 2016's at Heinz Field. So it's 16 at Heinz Field, 17 at Beaver Stadium. 18 in Heinz Field and 19 at Beaver Stadium. I've never been to Heinz Field.
Fabulous place.
I mean, inside of it. I mean, I've obviously gone to PNC Park, so I've seen Heinz Field, but I've never actually walked into the building. So,
did Kevin ever mention that the Jerome Bettis Bar and Grill was right next door? Did he?
No, I just want to go with Steve that particular day and hang out with him in the press box.
Excellent.
I think Bettis played for the Rams, didn't he?
Yes.
At one point.
This is all kind of killing your one team theory here.
This actually enhancing 80 to 93, all but one year with one team.
Okay. And he's fun to listen to as well. He's a very good.
I think he's very knowledgeable.
Oh, he is. He's fun to listen to as well.
And I think Craig Woofley does a nice job on the sidelines, to be frank with you. Yeah. It's a nice addition.
What a character he is on the sidelines. He so wants to get out on the field and play. So when they go down to the sidelines to him, it's like he's ready to go out and, you know, put the pads on and deck somebody. He just brings that, I'm here, I want to get into it, perspective from the sideline.
I think I told this story once. He and Tunch told a story one time about,
and there's the music, we're out of time.
When they were on Monday Night Football and their quarterback had just gotten knocked out of the game.
Okay.
And they brought in like the third string quarterback who was the rookie out of nowhere. He comes in and he goes, "All right, we're going to go play, play, play." Tunch said, I looked over to Wolf and I said, "Game over."
Well, he wasn't wrong.
No.
Nope.
He wasn't wrong. You notice most third-string guys in the league really can't play? Have you noticed that?
Yeah, it's sort of.
They really can't play.
Not a lot of success from the third spot in the bench.
I mean, no, think about it. What third guy has ever stepped in and played great?
Brady Quinn.
Once again, enhancing my point.